So today's number five on this series on Nehemiah. And we will see that getting involved in the work of God sometimes requires watchfulness, sometimes requires us to guard against attack. And it involves a preparedness to battle the opposition if necessary. We'll be reminded that the work calls for practical, hands-on involvement, but it also involves spiritual application. We'll be encouraged that faith nurtures hope. And the title for today is Sword and Trowel. I guess that's the hands-on. Faith and Hope. Now, you'll remember if you were here last week that as the plans developed for rebuilding Jerusalem and the work was about to begin, opposition raised its ugly head as the vision for this building was revealed. And we read this in chapter 2. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, heard about the rebuild plans, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you're doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" Well, Nehemiah was not deterred by these mockers. He was not distracted from his calling, from his God-given task. And he replied, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding, but as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." And so the work commenced. And under the direction of Nehemiah, the various gates, we read, were repaired and the walls began to rise as the people got stuck into the work. They worked together as a team. They pooled their resources, group by group, family by family. They all involved themselves in the hard slog of rebuilding. But as the walls began to rise, Sanballat and his allies reappear. And so we read from chapter 4. Now, these are long chapters in Nehemiah, and I want you to think of them as a story that you can get involved in. It is a narrative. Perhaps even imagine you're watching a film. It'd be a good film. There's a lot of action. There's baddies, there's goodies, there's all sorts of things going on. So sort of think of it in images as we read these words. So can we have Nehemiah 4, Kath, please? So when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "Huh, what they're building, even a fox climbing on it would break down their wall of stones." "Hear us, O God, we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. For the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out. There's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see us, we'll be right there among them and we will kill them and put an end to their work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked these things over, I stood up and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot, and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked, but the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. And I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "The work's extensive and spread out, and we're widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us." So we continued the work, with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, "Have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night, so they can serve us as guards by night and as workers by day. Neither I nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me, took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water." Good film. Just before we delve into that, I want to talk rubbish. Now, if I'd said I wanted to talk football, it would have made sense, wouldn't it? We'd talk about football. I want to talk about rubbish. Tucked away in the middle of that reading, verse 10. We read, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. And building anything often means clearing away rubbish. And rebuilding always means clearing away rubbish. And that can be tiring work. It can be boring work. It can get you down. It feels like nothing's happening. It can seem that there is no progress at all being made. And it is easy to become disheartened and to lose interest. But you can't build on rubbish. It doesn't provide a stable base. In fact, it's very unstable. It's not a sound foundation. And just as that is true when building with bricks and mortar or any other construction material, it's equally true when building on behalf of the kingdom of God, when building spiritually. The rubbish must be cleared. And that could be anything that hinders a stable foundation. Unresolved misunderstandings, unforgiveness, party spirit, mutterings. You could add to the list. It can be hard work. It may be painful. It may even seem pointless. But it is essential preparation if the build is to last and serve its purpose. So that's rubbish. Perhaps it came as a surprise to Sanballat and his cronies when the building work actually began and the walls began to rise. His earlier mockery turned to anger. We read that he was incensed. And there were alongside him Tobiah the Ammonite. So sword and trowel, faith and hope. Building anything for God may well provoke opposition. And though the opposition may appear to come from people, Sanballat, Tobiah, whoever, though it may appear to come from people, Paul reminds us in that letter to the Ephesians, we had it last week as well, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we thank God for that wise man, Nehemiah. Long before Paul penned that letter, long before Jesus walked this earth, he discerns that very same spiritual truth. And his response is to take the problem to God. He prays. He prays against the insults and the plots of the forces of darkness. His prayer, praise God, is effective. The enemy is rebuffed for the time being. And we read that the wall continues to rise to half its height because the people worked with all their heart. And that phrase is well worth noting. The people worked with all their heart. Their heart was in the rebuild. Their heart was in what they were doing. They believed it was what God wanted. They had a wise and gifted man of vision directing them. And I'm reminded of the scripture, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. You see, they treasured returning to Jerusalem. They treasured their homeland. They captured the vision of a rebuilt Jerusalem, and they treasured that vision. They were engaged. Their hearts were in it. Where their treasure was, their hearts were also. So the people worked with all their heart. And I think we understand something of that. We may have experienced that ourselves. And we know that a half-hearted approach to anything rarely achieves results. But a full-hearted attempt, even against the odds, can produce unimagined results. But the enemy knows this truth too. And he continues to raise his voice. But the tone changes. And it changes from mockery to anger. From anger to threats of violence. And it seems that Sanballat has added others to his cause. Further allies. The Arabs are mentioned. The men of Ashdod are noted. Where did they come from? They weren't mentioned before. And although prayers are lifted to God, which is right, spiritual warfare, Nehemiah also posts guards day and night. But the building work began to falter. The people, no doubt weary from the consistent work, burdened by the size of the task they'd undertaken, and the thought of the work still to be done, fearful of enemy threats, and despairing at the rumours and gossip of those who were on the periphery, they began to lose heart. Their focus had shifted from the building, this vision, to the dangers, to the opposition. Their minds had been distracted from the work at hand to the possibility of conflict. They'd lost sight of their God as their vision shifted from him to the problems. But we thank God for Nehemiah, who'd kept his focus on God and had not lost heart. He continued to trust that he who had promised would finish this work, the work that they'd begun together. And I'm reminded of that verse in Hebrews, which seems to crop up again and again here at TBC, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Isn't Nehemiah's attitude an illustration of that truth? So, in the face of growing despair amongst his people, Nehemiah took action. He posted people by families with weapons for protection to guard the more exposed sections of the wall. And then, with the work protected, and after careful thought, he speaks to all the people. And we read, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. We read a lot of that at Christmas, don't we? Angels appear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them, says God's spokesman here. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord, because as we declare in song, our Lord is greater. Our Lord is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Therein lies security for the people of God, in Father God himself. And Nehemiah is shifting the focus of the citizens away from threats, away from problems, away from danger, back on to Father God. He's restoring their confidence. His faith in his God is renewing their hope. He's enabling them to work again and rebuild with all their heart. Your faith, my faith, may renew someone else's hope. So, defensive action taken, the enemy seems to back off, and the people return to their work, and Nehemiah now examines his security measures, half the men working, half on watch, on guard. They're ready for anything, and the building work continues with renewed heart. And that brings us really to our conclusion and to our challenge today. Are we ready for anything? Ready for anything. We're not called to build a wall, but we are called to play our part in building the kingdom. Sword and trowel, faith and hope. Our sword, the word of God, living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. It can deal a mortal blow to the enemies of God's work. Our trials, our own skill sets, our abilities, our talents, the Bible calls them gifts. Pulled together, we make a well-equipped team. And our trust in God and our faith in Jesus will bolster each other's faith, continually renewing our hope in any work that he calls us to. Amen.